I also have a disagreement with your analysis. And that disagreement is that, you know, you can't... What one of the major contradictions in what you said is that when you mentioned that Utrice is going to fight Pacifica's encroachment on WBAI, I think that Utrice is Pacifica's encroachment on WBAI, that she has collaborated with Pacifica and opened the door for Pacifica at any point in the future to come in and snatch out anybody on the staff. That you can't have it both ways. You can't collaborate with Pacifica and then say that you're going to stop their encroachment, because once you collaborate, you become part and parcel of their encroachment. And, you know, you in particular, you and I were with Samori Marksman in San Francisco when we sat down with Pat Scott, and Pat Scott said that she was going to help us to eliminate a problem at BAI, that she was going to fire Valerie Van Isler for us. And I'm sure that you remember when Samori Marksman said, no, no good, we're not going to do that. The reason why Samori said that, because he understood, I understood, and I thought that you understood, that if once Pacifica does that act, that then they can come back and do that at any time. And that we, you know, rejected that at that time. And I think that it's one of the things that we have to reject now. The firing of me and Sharan was not Pacifica's call. Bessie Walsh doesn't know Sharan. If she came up and stood right in front of her, she wouldn't know who she was. This was a mean-spirited action taken by Utrice Lee. It was her call from the beginning. And one of the things that she had to do was to eliminate anybody who would be there in her face opposing her around the action that she took. So she decided to do that. I've spoken to Utrice. I've spoken to Rosemary Mealy. I've spoken to Javelle Fye. I spoke to Hapte Selassie, the real architects of this whole move, on many occasions about why we could not allow Pacifica to make this kind of move. And Utrice has told me on each occasion that she didn't care, that her only goal was to get rid of Valerie Van Isler. Now, anybody who comes and says that they don't care about what happens to the station because they're going to satisfy their own selfish desire for revenge is somebody that I can't see being in charge of WBAI. It is just amazing to me that some people cannot see that the mere fact that she is there, placed in that position, she's a Pacifica appointee. And, you know, when we talked about Talk Back, when we were developing those plans, Utrice was not a part of that development. And in fact, she has been a part of undermining many of the things that we've been trying to do that are positive. You talk about all of my weaknesses. I imagine that we all have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. But one of my weaknesses, helped us pilot through a whole minefield of indifference coming from Utrice Lee. You remember that she boycotted several of the fundraisers that we had. Boycotted it in an attempt to sabotage our efforts. And at the same time, we moved forward, got rid of the deficit, have a $70,000 surplus, and are increasing the subscribership at this very moment. A subscribership that you can bet is not on the incline right now. I think that you've been listening to what she says as opposed to what she's done. You need to take a look at what she's done in order to try and move things forward. She's very gifted, very talented in the manner in which she speaks and how she's able to put things forward. But what has she done When you check with the staff, those of us who work around these fundraisers trying our best to get WBAI out of the hole, trying our best to increase our subscribership, working around whatever opposition was there to maintain this radio station. Look at what she's done. Mm-hmm. Our listeners are not confused. Maybe some of the staff is confused, but our listeners are not confused. They understand exactly what this is, that it is part and parcel of Pacifica's move to get inside of WBAI. Utrecht is just a tool for them. She's allowed herself to become a tool. They can fire her at any moment. If she does, when you take a look at Bessie Walsh coming in there talking about all the things she's going to do for WBAI, she could have done those the day before she said she was going to do them. She could have done them in the summer, but now she's going to do them in March of this month. One of the things that she hasn't talked about is that she wrote Valerie Van Isler a letter saying that what a wonderful job she and the staff had done, and offered her a $10,000 raise. The next time she speaks to her, she's offering her a job in Washington, D.C. These people are liars, and Utrecht has joined them in the lies. One of the things she often says when she gives presentations in the public is that you have to be relentless and ruthless in your quest for power. Well, that's what's happened in this case. She's been relentless and ruthless in her request for power. This whole thing is not about me. It's not about Sharan. It's about protection of this radio station, something that has been severely violated by the collaboration of a cabal of individuals inside the station who did not move in the best interest of the station, but moved in their own best interest. Now they're all trying to get jobs that are available as a result of these changes that are being made. And I just go back once again to say that, I'm standing on the side. Samori's name has been brought up quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
I don't think that there's anybody there at the radio station who has talked over the last 20 years about WBAI with Samori more than I have. And I know that he would not be in favor of this kind of move. When it came up, when he was confronted by it, he wasn't in favor of it, and he wouldn't be in favor of it today.
Well, that was the point I was making. I mean, I made that earlier, Bernard White, and I said, in fact, I know you paid close attention to what I was saying, but I think you may have misheard the one point where I said, where I didn't say that Utrecht was defending the station from Pacifica's encroachment. I said if she indeed wants to prove that she is defending Pacifica, BAI, from the encroachment of Pacifica, as she has claimed on several occasions, which is why she claims she took the position, she can take the first steps towards achieving some kind of, I guess you can say, confianza, some kind of confidence in the staff that has serious doubts about her ability and her willingness to do so, if she takes that first step of reinstating yourself and Sharan Harper and lifting the ban on the other colleagues.
Yeah, but
I just want to make clear what I said. I didn't say that she is defending the station from Pacifica's encroachment. Okay, I just want to clarify that. I said if she indeed, she said that she has, and I said if she wants to take steps to convince us, or at least make the first steps to move in that direction, that would be the first thing I would recommend.
Okay, first thing I would recommend is that she resigns, because that she represents Pacifica's encroachment. She collaborated with people. She came under the cloak of darkness, and did something that she said the staff wanted to do. If the staff wanted it, she could have done it at 12 o'clock. It costs about $5,000 to come in there and change those locks.
Mm-hmm.
And, if this is something that the staff approved, she could have done it during the day. But the staff did not approve of this action. They stated it on several occasions when we had meetings that they did not want this to happen. And all along, while she was sitting in some of the meetings, knowing that she was already talking with Pacifica about this entire move. So, how can the staff really trust her?
Mm-hmm. Bernard, if she was to hire you back to do a wake-up call with Sharan, would you do it?
I made a took a position before we were found out that Utrice was going to be the one. I don't know whether you were in that meeting when Armand asked her directly, was she talking to Pacifica? Did she want to become the station manager? And she said no. I took a position that I was not going to collaborate with Pacifica. To work with Utrice Lee is to become part and parcel of collaborating with Pacifica. I think Utrice has to get out of there. She made a serious error. She made a selfish error, and that she needs to own up to that and move out. Look at what she's done to this radio station. 1,500 to 2,000 people coming out on a cold winter holiday night to protest. You think that's going to impact on our ability to be solvent? You bet it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only thing that would represent Pacifica leaving WBAI is if she went.
I think that's one thing that wasn't calculated, certainly the response.
Because she doesn't really understand WBAI. Mm-hmm. She's only been there a couple of years. You know how long it takes you to really understand some of the subtleties and nuances of a Pacifica radio station or of WBAI. And she was unwilling to learn. She knows more than all of us. She knew more than everybody else. And she wouldn't, when you tried to talk to her about what was going on, she knew better. We need people who don't know better, people who can understand, people who can learn, not people who know everything already.
Well, that was the point I made earlier, that Samori, that was Samori, one of Samori's great strengths, is that he worked with people, and he worked closely in building, I hate to use the cliche of a team, but that's what he did. So when I do hear people refer to his mission so loosely, it's very disturbing.
Right, because she's been anti-team since she's been there.
Mm.
But we had other work to do, so we did that other work. And, you know the accomplishments that have been made. And there were moves to straighten out some of the other things. I had gotten Valerie Van Isler to bring in a consultant so we could develop systems and how we relate back and forth to each other and how we do the work. And that consultant was there working with Valerie when all of this took place. Rosemary Mealy knew that. You have to deal with things at one step at a time. First, we become solvent and strong so that we can point to our accomplishments. Then we wind up trying to work out, deal with all of the personality and the system differences that we have, and we were about to take that step. And then Utrice knew that, Rosemary Mealy knew that, but they didn't care about that. They had another agenda, and now we're living inside of the agenda. I told them exactly what would happen if they collaborated with Pacifica, and they did it anyway, and we are in the moment that I already explained to them we would be in if that collaboration went forward. Now there are people there intimidating the staff. Just imagine walking through WBAI and they're people there, supposedly Utrice's bodyguards. Well, if they're her bodyguards, when she takes her body out of there, take the guards with her.
Well, I said this morning, Bernard, the first person I confronted as I was trying to get into the door was some person I've never seen in my life before, asking me who I was. And I said to him, well, who are you? What are you doing here? He's like, well, sorry, nothing personal. And I said, well, nothing personal, but I've been working here for 13 years. Why are you coming here and telling me who I am? Asking me who I am. And that is a problem. The other day is the same thing. I'll just let this be known that on Tuesday during our staff meeting, very heated, contentious staff meeting, one of the ugliest that I've been to in my time here at Pacifica, BAI, there was a lot of people uncomfortable with the fact that a couple of these folks were milling about right outside the room, listening in on what was going on, and there was a request to have them removed, or at least to, move out of the way. And I went up to one of them and I kindly said, look, given the situation, the situation's heated, do you mind just stepping aside? And he was direct and confrontational, asking me if I was deaf. Are you deaf? Are you deaf? As if he wanted to, get into some fisticuffs or something. And I said, well, if you're here to be protecting the physical integrity of the station, as is being claimed, you're not doing a very effective job of doing that. And if I was somebody else, if I had another temperament, and sometimes I do, it might have gotten ugly. So I agree with that, especially considering the fact that several key members of the station who've been here for years and who are no strangers to the station are not allowed in. And meanwhile, we have these folks here. I mean, that's another issue which I think has to be dealt with, the calling out, the calling back of some of these folks.
I mean, look at the staff meeting. I wasn't there, but I heard that several times it came up where people were saying, well, you're worse than Valerie. And who thought that anybody would ever hear someone say that? I mean, did she get a consensus from the staff that you know, they wanted people to protect the place? Did she talk to the staff? I mean, perhaps staff members might, if they agreed with her that there was a need for that, perhaps they would have personed the doors and you know, to talk to people about not coming in. But she comes in this manner. She cannot now trust anybody. She can't trust the staff. And that's going to be borne out in days to come, because she knows that the overwhelming majority of the staff said that they did not want this to happen. I know that there are people there. We always live on the edge at WBAI. We don't make a lot of money. So there are a lot of people who cannot speak out because they have families to raise. But the unpaid producers, as well as the community, they're not in that position. And they're going to speak out. And this is just a terrible thing that has happened. And like I said, the only way I can see us rebuilding the trust in our community, if Pacifica's agent, Pacifica's operative, Utrice Lead, gets out of there and, you know, apologizes to everybody for the damage that she's done to this radio station that most of the people around that table that you're sitting at built.
I know. It was constructed by many, not by one person. But there's an illusion that can be constructed by one person. At least that's what I heard last week. Well, Bernard, I want to thank you. In every sense of that term, thank you. I mean, not only for sharing your thoughts this morning, but also just the role that you've played. I mean, you know, I've learned a lot from you. No doubt about it. I've been inspired by a lot of your work and your role here at the station and in the community. And again, as far as I'm concerned, you have to be here. Notwithstanding what you just said about not collaborating with Pacifica, you have to be here. You have to be inside, not outside.
Well, thank you, Mario, and you have a good year. And Happy New Year to the rest of you around the table.
Thank you, Bernard, and I hope we're doing wake-up call next week together, the whole team. I hope Janice K. Bryant is unbanned. We still don't know what she was banned for. I hope Sharan Harper is back producing the program. And, of course, I hope you're back at the helm.
Was she banned by Pacifica?
I don't think so.
No, the bannings are being done by Utrice Lead. And we don't even know how many people are banned. People only find out when they try to enter the premises and they're told they're banned. This is really frightening, because it says, and when we ask what is the criteria for someone being banned, nothing is ever laid out. They know what they did, is the response. And I call them and I say, what did you do? They don't know what they did.
Well, it's just like Bessie Wise saying that I was removed for cause and then telling Utrice Lead that she could hire me back. Well, what happened to the cause? If there was a cause to remove me, does that, you know, what happened to it? How come Utrice can hire me back? You know, is they're both playing playing games with us. They're both. So many untruths were told in that encounter that they both had. Bessie Watts said nobody called her. Well, I did call her, because there were some people who wanted to meet with her. And I made 3 phone calls to her, and she returned none of my phone calls. So she, you know, she was just telling some blatant untruths while she was there. I didn't know that she was in New York, but I did have her number, and I was trying to call her because there were some people who were interested in talking to her. Some people like Gil Noble, some people like Harry Belafonte, some people like Susan Sarandon. So she lied.
It's called a problem with the spinal cord. serious deficiency in spinal tissue.
That's right.
And that's always been a problem with Pacifica. So, but we'll again, Bernard. I just say that you need to be inside. And the next level of struggle, it has to be conducted with you inside, not outside. And I feel strongly about that.
Well, thank you, Mario.
Bernard, you need to know, too, that Regent Adelaide Sanford is interested, you know, in this particular situation, too, as well as Sister Betty Dobson of Simultan, and, of course, Gil Noble. And all of them want you back here. That is unconditional. I mean, I heard what Mario said earlier today, you know, about working with people. And most of us here are working at the station to try to carry out what we view as the mission of Pacifica in the context of our own realities. And the fact is that if you are not here, it's a tension. We need to bring the situation around here into the proper perspective. The people who are here, representatives of the United African Movement, are people who I all know. They are people who are legitimate in the community, and their security at the O'Berry Dempsey Center for the meetings of the United African Movement is understandable. But just as they wouldn't want anybody to come into to that particular space, and it's suddenly because they had a speaker who was going to be there to intervene and to try to encroach upon their jurisdiction. Here they're seen as interlopers, and even to the point of being a goon squad. And I know that they're not, and I think that the misuse of them, to put them in that particular situation, is really something that is not really thought out. I think that the cavalier method of coming on the air, if you listen to the tape at Creative Unity, and the jocular manner that is actually presented, you know, it's comical, but it's tragic, because at the particular time that was done, they already knew that that messengers were on the way, trying to terminate you. Last night I read a statement from 1996 when they terminated Ron Wilkins at KPFK,
Continental.
What did Ron Wilkins? Ron Wilkins is one of the long-standing fighters in Los Angeles. Prior to Watts, he was SNCC. He was a person who was involved with the Watts uprisings. He's a person who continues to have revolutionary conduct, a person that the Panthers tried to draft, Eldridge Cleaver himself. And he's a photojournalist who's done countless trips to Mexico, taking black people from Los Angeles down to Mexico to try to show them the continuity of the struggle there, showing them the black connection to Mexico. He's an outstanding photojournalist. And because they had actually tried to make a wave of executing these different black shows and Latino shows, even though his show was intact, they didn't touch it. What they fired him for, because he just couldn't take it. Myself and Samori talked to him, Ron, don't do this because you're going to lose the show. Because we used to have a thing where we could call in Los Angeles and be speaking out there and vice versa. He just opened the door and let all of the people who had been put off the air come in. They locked the doors in the studios, and, you know, the manager was beating on the doors. People were broadcasting, giving their story. And the letter that they sent, that I read it last night, in February of 1996, is the same letter they sent to you. You're terminated, and don't come here, you're trespassing. You're banned. Bannings were for apartheid South Africa. Bannings are what they did for against Paul Robeson when they... You know, they held him in try to keep him in a box on his United States. It's not for BAI. If this story or what happened on the Christmas coup had happened any other place in the world, it would be a major story on BAI. We would have been investigating, talking about the elections, the frauds, and all that kind of stuff. We do it all the time. But now what has happened, and then the passing of the buck, well, is whose call is it? I said to Utrice in a meeting, I said to people here weeks ago, what is going to happen? I was told by one person who, you know, sympathetic to Utrice's position, she would not actually take the job. I said, not only would she take the job, the first act was to fire Bernard White. And I'm sorry to say, you know, because I worked for Utrice at the City Sun. We had an excellent relationship. And I still think highly of her as a professional. And I agree with you, what you said before, Mario, about her proficiencies. I understand that. I mean, we had such good relationship that I would write a story, and I'd be at work at ABC. She'd call me that morning. Is your story ready? Yes. I'll be at ABC at X hour, minute. At that particular time, I'd go downstairs, stand on the curb with a story, and she'd come by in the cab. Hardly wouldn't stop. Reach her hand out. I give her a story. She's going to the press. We did a tremendous lot of work, and she was a good administrator. And I have the irony of this whole thing, that months ago, I had said that if it was going to be a job she was looking for, it was the job she's now, you know, at interim. That was the job that she would have been better at than the program director. So it's sad to see that this thing could not have been worked out better. And the worst thing about this, it has created mistrust among colleagues. I think of all the things that's here, the mistrust that people who had soldiered together, who had been involved in working together, now look at each other with suspicion, want to know, why did you see it your way when I see it a different way so clearly? And that is, I think of everything that has happened here, that is the worst.
You know, people, I got two phone calls, one yesterday and one the day before, and the people were actually whispering on the telephone, Bernard, that's unbelievable at BAI. People calling folks and not feeling comfortable that they could just speak normally. That's an indication to me of what's happening there during the day, that people are beginning to feel intimidated. That this, it's like having the Hessian soldiers come into your home. You know, there were laws against that as a result of what happened in the history of this country. You know, you just can't do that. It's disrespectful to just bring people in to the radio station without their consent. But I guess once you start doing things without the consent of the majority of people there, that it just opens the door to do other things. And I'm saying again that, that Dutrice is an agent of Pacifica. She was placed there by Pacifica. And unless that is reversed, that precedent will stand, and they will come back at any point in the future and repeat it.
Well, Bernard White, again, thanks. I think that what Alembe said is a key thing about the divisions that it has created, the mistrust, the way people look at you, the way people talk. You know, people are talking, there's always been the walls are very hollow here at WBAI anyway, so you always know that somebody's stabbing you in the back. But the way it is now, it's really, really, it's not conducive to working, to constructive independent radios, which is what we're all here about. That's what we're trying to do. It is a complete diversion, because even the fact that we're at 7:52, and I had initiated this program this morning saying that we were going to try to deal with other issues affecting the world in 2000 and into 2001, we have been forced to do otherwise. And I understand why. I think there's a need for it, but right here is a perfect example of that.
On that note, if you look at the Times, when it came out on the 23rd, coincidentally, the day that the thing all happened, but the story that the Times had was actually from December the 12th.
Right.
You know, when they were here at that meeting, so they had that story. They held it, but they held it at a time where they did it before this thing happened. So they never really, until yesterday, gave a little wrap up. This is interesting because, given the fact that the Times came out on the 23rd and this stuff happened, it should have been an immediate follow-up. And now this follow-up is a lot of distortion. But they say that we are mired in the past. We're in the 60s, in the 60s.
Alembe, who is they? Because we've got to be very specific.
Well, I'm saying on the New York Times, the writer who did the story, I have it here.
And that's echoed again and again. Yeah. I mean,
but look at the appointment today, Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
Rumsfeld was the architect of the Angola War. He's the one under the Ford administration and the Committee of 40.